Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. No matter where you go in the world, personal security is a high priority. Have you noticed? In many cities of the world, people have bars on their windows and walls or fences around their property. And of course, we all have locks on our doors. In some places, people install security cameras surveying the outside of their homes or security systems on all their doors and windows. Some people hire security guards or live in gated communities. Why? Why do so many people live in such anxiety? Well, the answer is simple, isn't it? Our world is filled with greedy, dishonest people seeking to steal from others what they desire but don't have. Oh, down deep inside, everyone knows such behavior is inherently wrong in every society of our world. But still, the ethics code of so many people is profoundly distorted by our sinful human nature, isn't it? Left to ourselves, with no influence from Holy God, we humans become incredibly decadent, evil, wicked, and very dangerous to ourselves and each other. Isn't that right? We've been spending the last few days with 1 million people at Mount Sinai, about 3,500 years ago, listening to the audible voice of God as God explains 10 fundamental principles which God is putting in place as a code of ethics, a formula for living in peace with each other and with God. We know them as the 10 commandments. The first 4 define a right relationship with God, and the following 6 define God-honoring interpersonal relationships between people. These commandments from God apply to all people, in all places, in all generations, and they come from the Almighty Holy God who designed and created us, a unique species of beings, humans, who are made in God's image. Listen, God is speaking again to these 1 million people, so let's join them and listen to what God has to say. You shall not steal. Exodus 20:15. Once again, only 4 words. Simple, direct, clear, and very powerful. Even a child can understand it. In fact, parents prioritize this as one lesson we must teach our children from very early in their young lives, for infants naturally want to touch, grab, and even chew on everything, and toddlers want the toys other kids are playing with, just naturally. If you are a parent or a grandparent, I wonder how you have taught the little children in your family to respect the fundamental principle of ownership. How have you taught them to not attempt taking what does not belong to them? As your children grow older, have you been successful in teaching them contentment with what you, their parents or grandparents, are providing for them, or what they have earned through their own work? Have you learned how not to spoil your kids or your grandkids? Now, can you make the application to yourself and your contentment with what God provides for you? Do you refuse to allow your heart to envy or covet what is not yours? Can you control your emotion of desire so you do not pursue what will be harmful to you? Here's a powerful, profound word of wisdom from God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. What do you understand that statement means, and how do you live it daily in your life journey? Have you found great peace when your desires in life are fully aligned with God's best for you? Can you discern God's best for you? What do you do when you know that your desires are not in alignment with God's best for you? Perhaps you remember this issue was the focus of one of Jesus' first major public speeches, which we call the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew recorded for us in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 34, what Jesus said that day on the hillside in Galilee, speaking to hundreds of people. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It means what our heart desires, longs for, we will highly value and pursue. Now that can be a very good thing, especially if your heart longs to help people or serve people or honor God with every aspect of your life. But it can be a terrible thing if what your heart longs for is unethical or immoral or belongs to someone else or will be harmful to you and others if you pursue it. It's not difficult for us to see why God spoke this commandment to his people at Sinai, is it? I'm sure God paused, perhaps for a lengthy time after each of these powerful statements at Sinai, giving the people time to think, maybe even discuss it a bit with each other. But now God is speaking again. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Exodus 20, verse 16. Do you think God is simply telling his people not to slander or gossip or speak maliciously about each other? Or is it much bigger than that? I believe God is calling his people to speak truthfully always. Why? Because deceit, lying, distortion of truth breaks trust. And when trust is broken, relationships fall apart, right? It's true in marriage, in business, in politics, in fact, in every human relationship. Have you suffered a broken relationship because of deceit? Have you found it takes a long time to rebuild trust after trust has been broken? Do you remember Jesus often said, "I tell you the truth"? Jesus was distinguishing himself from all other teachers and public speakers by claiming to only speak God's truth. Jesus took this concept of truth and deceit to the extreme by saying, "The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." John 8:44. Have you developed a highly sensitive ability to discern any distortion of truth, any manipulation of truth, any outright lie? And what happens inside your heart and your mind, my friends, when you perceive you are being deceived by someone you should be able to trust? Truth or deceit is a reflection of the integrity of personal character. So what is your reputation? Finally, God spoke one last commandment to the people at Sinai. Let's listen. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Exodus 20:17. Now, perhaps you're thinking, God is being a bit redundant here. Didn't God already imply this when he said, "Do not steal, do not commit adultery"? Yes, but God knows our human sinful nature. Have you discovered that sometimes you can be your own worst enemy? We can convince ourselves to do something we know is wrong. We can also talk ourselves out of doing something we know is right and would be helpful to others. I've just finished reading a very helpful and challenging little book, and I urge you to consider getting it for yourself. You might even consider giving it as a gift. It's by Andy Stanley, entitled Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets, subtitle Five Questions to Help You Determine Your Next Move. This matter of envy or coveting is a root of almost every wrong decision, every unwise priority, every dreadful pursuit. Visit any prison, anywhere in the world, and talk with the inmates. Listen to their story, and it won't be long before you'll likely hear greed or envy or coveting or selfishness as a primary contributor to what they did, which has landed them behind bars. The Bible book of Proverbs is filled with God-given wisdom. I urge you to read several verses each day. Today is November 11, so here's a verse from Proverbs 11. It's verse 20. The Lord detests men of perverse heart, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. God at Mount Sinai was giving the people 10 fundamental principles to guide their lives, and they are as fresh and relevant and powerful as if God were speaking them for the first time today, wherever you live in the world. Can you imagine if you and I and every person on earth lived these 10 commandments faithfully every day? How would your life be different? What about your family, your neighborhood, your city, your country? So, what's holding you and me back from living these today and every day for the rest of our lives? May I invite you to do something with me that's courageous? Write these 10 commandments on a card and carry that card in your pocket every day for the rest of the month of November, reading through all 10 every morning and every evening, and asking God to help you live them faithfully each day. If you try that, I assure you, your life will change.